last week, of course, we were telling you how to get fat over Christmas. So this week, we're going to be telling you how to work it all off again. And we're joined by Chris Darling. He runs marathons. He teaches PE at Bottisham Village College and is the director of Cambridge Park. That's a very exhausting introduction, really. Chris, good morning.
Good morning, Julian. And Lucy.
Good morning. So I guess we'd like to start with, January. It's the kind of time of the year where everyone thinks, right, I've had enough of food. This is the time to get fit and healthy. And let's just say if we're someone who, I don't go to the gym ever, I just can't get on with it. Let's go for like somebody who doesn't do much exercise at all, but thinks January is the time to start. What's the best thing to sort of start off with?
I think the key thing is making sure you're realistic and you don't try and do too much too soon. Mm. Gyms see a huge increase, anything up to 40-50% of memberships taken up in January.
I love
and
that.
It's really important that you, by the end of December, lots of those memberships are not carried out or used, and particularly most of them fail within the first 6 months. So making sure that you are realistic with your goal setting, and don't expect too much too soon. Set medium, short, long-term goals that you can ensure that you are meeting, and they are realistic. You know, you might not take yourself from an amateur to elite athlete, you know, overnight. So it's making sure that you set what's appropriate for you. And also making sure that you work on your goals, you know, maybe with other people. Having some people there to support you will really help you along your way. They can guide you maybe through the tough times. The weather at the moment, it's not very nice weather outside. It's sometimes where you have to really grit your teeth if you really want it or not. And the support of other people can really be beneficial and help you there.
So is that the same, there's the whole idea of going to the gym and you're doing your lone thing, you plug in and listen to the music or whatever, or is it better to actually exercise in groups, like the whole spin classes maybe, or do you find that there's a difference that maybe it suits different people?
I think it's really important. It's A, finding what's right for yourself, but also it's actually making it a social aspect. We come on to parkrun later, but with parkrun, Paul St. John Hewitt, the founder, said it's actually like a social gathering which takes place every week. You know, it might be going to the cafe afterwards and discussing, you know, the ins and outs of your run or the activity that you've participated in. But it's actually finding it where you can make it enjoyable for you and not a chore, because if you have it as an add-on in your life, it will generally come back and you'll struggle to carry that forward.
Okay. Can we ask, what's your exercise regime?
My exercise regime...
You're going to terrify me.
It does involve a lot of, you know, running and physical activity. Mostly running at least once a day, two or three times a day sometimes, depending on the time of year, what I'm training for. I train with Cambridge and Coleridge. I'm part of Mark Viles' training group, which trains on a Tuesday and Thursday in Cambridge. So the rest of the time I'm training from home, where I live in Bottisham. So it's most like the village see me out on the pacing the roads, pounding the streets.
That's Chris, he's out again.
Exactly, so. Yes, multiple times a day. So morning and night.
There's somebody, because we normally do the breakfast show here, Cambridge Breakfast, and we've both seen this woman in the sort of day glow fluorescent stuff jogging down the side streets here at 6:30 in the morning, for goodness sake.
Yeah. I saw people jogging on Christmas Day, like in the morning.
Well, Bushey Park run in Bushey Park in London, there was over 2,000 runners at Bushey Park, a record attendance there. And I went to Bury St Edmunds and there was over 300 runners there on Christmas Day this year. So it's becoming a bit of a tradition, I think, around.
So I'm intrigued. You live in Bottisham.
Yes.
And you drive all the way to Bury St Edmunds, is a lovely place, but you drive all the way to Bury St Edmunds on Christmas Day morning to have a run.
To have a run, absolutely. And I've in previous years, myself and my family, we've all gone down to Ipswich and various other places.
And your family, the whole group.
That's right, yes. All five of us this year went down to Bury St Edmunds. It was, you know, it was really good fun, meeting other people, and obviously, you know, just having that social aspect on Christmas Day, which maybe in the past hasn't always been there. But it's key to remember, when I started running, I wasn't a great athlete myself. I just enjoyed it, and I think that's the key thing, is trying to find it and you enjoy it and you want to keep working at it, and small improvements eventually will come, and then you become whatever you want to be. It's really important you find what's right for you. and you can do it. Anyone can actually do what they achieve their goals. There's no barriers in running. There's different people of different ages, different sizes, abilities that all take up running, and it's fantastic to see that people generally on the whole do find that and that end product at the end, their goal. But some people, if they don't, you know, it's trying to think, maybe were they too ambitious with their goals when they were trying to set them.
Do apps help with all of this? A lot of people I know wear the Fitbit watches. Mm-hmm. I know my watch conveniently tells me just before I'm going to go to bed that what I really need is a 7-minute brisk walk, which will solve all my problems for the day. Which, of course, I take no notice of whatsoever, which kind of suggests that apps don't help me.
Well, the government say there's about 44% of adults, male and female, walk less than 10 minutes continuously each month at a brisk pace. So that's not just a normal walk, that's a brisk walk. So therefore, that would suggest that maybe people do need that little bit of encouragement with an app, either on their watch, as it might tell them to alert them to move if they've been sat down too long. But it might be if you're at work and you have got an office job. Mm. I'm very lucky because I have an active job where I'm on my feet all day. But if you have
a PE teacher, it's kind of
exactly, yes, it's quite it lends itself to it. But if you have got a job where you are sat at the desk all day, it's making sure you make that conservative effort in the morning and the evening to actually go out there for that little bit of a 10, 15 minute walk. And that not only will give you the physical benefits for your health, but also your mental health as well, which is sometimes gets forgotten. It will, you know, release the endorphins which have been building up, any stress you might be building up, and also just get some fresh air because you've probably been inside all day. So it's really, really positive to actually take that step to go on to that physical activity. Mm. And those apps do sometimes give you that little nudge that some people need. Some people are committed enough and they will always be able to do that physical activity.
Mm. Does it help to have family around you as well? You mentioned that you and your family headed out to Bears and Edmonds and Ipswich previously. Are you from a running family? Is that sort of built
no.
in, or is it just sort of accrued, shall we say?
Not really, no. When I started taking up running with my sister when we were at Bottisham Village College as students with the school triathlon club. When people like Don Hutchinson from Cambridge Triathlon Club came in and ran the sessions, we had I was very fortunate. I had the head of PE, Greg Alvey, at the time there, and he was very supportive and keen on that. And literally, that when we started running, my mum started thinking, oh, she can have a, you know, doing a little bit of running. And my dad struggled to run to the end of the street, but he then got fed up of carrying the coats at Cambridge Park Run. So it was quite a nice sort of progression. And they both then went on and did Manchester Marathon in 2015, which was the first time I did London. Myself and my dad both did also Milton Keynes in 2014 as our first marathons together. So that was a really sort of nice moment where it takes the pressure off slightly, you know, in terms of we're all on the same journey. We're all started as not runners, but we actually got to that stage. Tomorrow will be Ely for the Ely New Year's Eve 10K, which is near Little Downham. So that's always a nice social end of the year.
So how many of these things do you do in the course of a year then?
Most weeks.
You're struggling to try and remember.
Yeah, exactly. That's right. Yes. So I compete. All different levels, as well as doing the local events. I enjoy doing the local events because I think it helps, you know, be in contact with what is going on in the local community. But also, it's important to do the slightly bigger, more national events. So I'll be competing this year at the National Cross Country Championships, which are held in Leeds this year, in the Southern Cross Country Championships, which are at Parliament Hill in London. I'll also be there. So it's really nice to see the whole spectrum of runners. But I think events overall, they needs people that are all at different abilities and ages that are coming, because I think it just helps sort of inspire some people that maybe have, you know, just started
on
their journey.
And does it help to have something to build towards as well? You know, particularly if you're just starting out, if you can think to yourself, oh, there's this, you might as well use the Town and Gown 10K as
yes,
an example.
Absolutely, yeah.
Although it isn't until next September, so you can possibly sneak in one in, May, possibly, somewhere. But to have that and to say to yourself, right, this is coming up, I'm going to do this, I'm going to complete the course, and I reckon I can do it in X. And obviously that's going to vary from person to person.
Absolutely. If you find a goal, if you say, you know, maybe, you know, if you, lots of people might be trying to aspire to do a half marathon, for Cambridge half marathon this year, or London marathon if you're doing a full marathon, it is important to have little landmarks also on the way to that final goal. So if it is trying to find yourself as a, you know, I want to run Cambridge half marathon in sub 2 hours, it might be trying to find, can I run up to 10 miles before the race day, and making sure that I can do that in X time before that you get to that day, so you know and you're confident on the day when you get there. It's not just a flick of a coin, and if it's luck or not, you'll get there. Generally, hard work will pay off, and you can't blag your training. So if you want to run a half marathon, if you turn up without any the training, and the week before you cram in a load of training, that's when you're likely to get injured, and it's probably counterproductive. So actually, you need to start preparing and thinking about the Cambridge half marathon now, or London marathon now, if you're doing those type of events, good 6, 8, 10 weeks in advance before you actually get there.
We're going to talk some more in a moment or two and go on to explain about the park run, which takes place in Cambridge. But I kind of wanted you mentioned injuries there. Mm-hmm. I guess what we don't want to do this morning is to encourage people to get up off the
sofa. No, absolutely not.
We want to encourage that bit, but we don't want them to aggravate any health issues or anything. Is it sensible for people to turn up at a doctor's anyway, or just to know your own limits and take that all under consideration?
I think it's really important that you know your own limits of what you can and can't, you know, your body can and can't manage. But there's, you know, 617,000 cases of admissions to the NHS each year nationally that are related to obesity and weight issues in individuals, which is an 18% increase on last year. So it is increasing in terms of the obesity element, but also you will get injuries as you run and exercise. So it's not all win-win, but you have to take the rough with the smooth. But knowing your own body, if you are not currently running or only running once a week, and now you go into try and run 4 or 5 times a week, you're likely to get injured. And you haven't, you know, it's not a lot of sympathy there if you suddenly start to try and just, you know, turn the tap on and try and run all, you know, too much too soon. So it's about pacing yourself and making sure that you can meet your goals, but also making them realistic to what suits your life. If your life is always on your feet, it makes it obviously a lot easier, but you have to make sure you don't do too much too soon. I can't stress that enough.
Yeah.
Whatever you do, don't go out today thinking today's my first day of my run, I'm going to try and run, and then I don't run all week, and then try and do far more than I'm capable of, because that's when you'll get injured or ill as a result.
That's fair enough. We're chatting with Chris Darling about health and fitness. We'll do some more in a moment. Do you have any favourite running tracks or anything at all?
My iPod is quite, shall we say, quite vast, as my friends quite know if they travel with me in the car. It's got everything on, from the running tracks and the keep on running, etc., all the way down to the Sweet Carolines of the world and the Beatles. So it's got everything on there.
Beatles sounds promising. I don't know about Sweet Carolina.
It's got absolutely everything on my iPod on there. And to be honest, running is, it just takes your mind off it sometimes. When I was in Sheffield at university, I used to listen to music to block out the noise of commuting traffic. But other than that, now I entertain myself on my long runs. So it's slightly different.
Works for me. So more from Chris at the moment. It's 11:42, Cambridge 105 Radio. Sunday brunch with Julian Clover and Lucy Milazzo. And Chris Darling is here. Chris runs marathons. He teaches PE at Bottisham Village College and somehow manages to find time to, well, be a director of Cambridge Park Run, but also presumably run the thing is it a weekly basis?
Yes, that's right. It's Saturday mornings at 9 o'clock. There are now two in Cambridge. There's one at Milton Country Park, which I'm one of the 6 or 7 run directors as part of the core volunteer team there. And also there's a new one that started on the 29th of September this year, or 2018 anyway, Coldham's Common Park Run, which was set up by Tracy Hutchinson there, and she's done a fantastic job there, also increasing the numbers in a different ward of Cambridge.
So what is it, Parkrun? How does it work?
Yeah.
So Parkrun is a initiative that was set up in 2004 by a man called Paul Sinton Hewitt. It was where about 10 runners in Bushey Park of London just agreed to meet at 9 o'clock and go on a timed run. And before they knew it, this phenomenon had just increased. And now it's got to the stage where there's hundreds of events, not just in the UK, but also around the world. There's over 500 events within the UK. So if you go on holiday, you can generally find a nearby park run if you'd like to do a bit of tourism. And it comes to a bit of competition where people try and do tourism alphabets and trying to cover every event in the country. So it's grown to unprecedented levels, really. We've also got Cambridge Junior Park Run, which is like the sister event of Cambridge Park Run at Milton Country Park, which takes place on a Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. That's for 4 to 14-year-olds. So to try and get them, the young ones infused in physical activity there, I was part of the team that helped start up that event. I've left the core team since. However, they've now had over 214 events since 2014 when it started.
So the name Parkrun, though, you see, it's hiding something. And that's how far you have to run.
How far you have to run. So it's a 5 kilometres, 3.1 miles run, which is just a timed run, where you're looking to basically get your personal best. It's not a race. It's really key to understand it's not a race. It doesn't matter if you are a 15-minute 5K runner or an hour 5K runner. Everybody's welcome. And it's about a community spirit, which is set up there. Interestingly, the average run time, both at Cambridge Park Run and Coldham's Common Park Run since it started, are both in the 27 minutes. So 27 minutes, 26 seconds is the average time across all runners.
Is that exactly Cambridge Park Run good for compared to the rest of the country?
So that would, they're all very similar because it's about not just taking good athletes which run. It's about getting people that maybe want that bit of motivation, or it could be the end goal of maybe the Couch to 5K initiatives that take place around the country. So there are lots of opportunities for you to challenge yourself. The junior park runs only 2 kilometres long. So that's also at Milton Country Park, so it's a slightly different route there for the 2 kilometres, and it's great to see even young ones, about 4 or 5 year olds, and then they move up towards the 5K event as they get older in time. So it's Cambridge Park Run's had over 450 events now, and it's been over 18,000 runners which have taken part. And wow. On the 26th of January in next year, or next month, we've got our ninth.
Next week,
yes, that's right. We've got our ninth birthday, which will be to celebrate the all the runners that have gone through and graced Milton Country Park. So it's free. It's really important to remember it's free. You just turn up, register online at parkrun.org.uk, and you print off a barcode, bring your barcode, and just run. And at the end, they'll scan your barcode and a finish token you're given, and you'll receive an email or text message with your time. Everything's free. It's all run by volunteers, and it's a fantastic way to meet new people, and particularly, people of different ages meet in the cafe afterwards. They might go have a walk around the park. They might, the children might go off and play on the, on the swings and the play area, and the adults might be enjoying their cup of coffee afterwards and discussing. But it's a great family atmosphere. So I urge you, please give it a go. Even if you can't walk the whole, run the whole thing, it might be you do a run walk to try and build yourself up and walk less each week and run slightly more. At the moment, it's slightly muddy around Milton Country Park. However, in the summer, it's a very scenic place, and it's great to see throughout the year the changes. In autumn, you get the leaves falling. It's quite a scenic course.
Well, there we are then, Lucy. Around. That's your new year sorted.
Right, I'm going vegan and running in the mud.
Yeah, I think so. And Chris, look, thank you very much for coming in to chat to us this morning.
Pleasure. Thank you.
Chris Darling telling us about Parkrun. And yeah, if you fancy having a go, I guess people just look up online, can they? And,
absolutely, and yes.
There's
over 500 events all around the country. So even if you're not in Cambridge or you work away, you can always look for your event. Saturday morning, 9 o'clock, Milton Country Park in Cambridge. Just register online at parkrun.org.uk and hope to see you there next week.
Nicely done. Chris, thanks very much.
Thank you. Cambridge 105 Radio.